Hi, I'm Stephen Heine, and I'm a professor of cultural and existential psychology at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver. Today, I'm going to share five of the big ideas from my new book, Start Making Sense: How Existential Psychology Can Help Us Build Meaningful Lives in Absurd Times. Big idea number one: meaning in life helps to protect against anxiety. You've surely noticed it, but everyone seems on edge these days. The world is going through somewhat of a mental health crisis, as rates of anxiety, depression, and deaths of despair have jumped sharply in many countries. So how can we cope with these dark and anxious times? Much research points to one key mindset that helps to protect us from feelings of anxiety and uncertainty. This is a sense that one is leading a meaningful life. When people feel that their lives are meaningful, they feel that they have a sense of purpose that is guiding them, and that their life all seems to make sense. They feel that what they are doing really matters and is capable of making a difference in the world. People who feel that their lives are more meaningful can stand strong in the face of the slings and arrows that are thrown at them by these uncertain times. They enjoy greater well-being and fare better in coping with their anxieties. So what makes for a meaningful life? The emerging field of existential psychology has provided many evidence-based answers to this important question. And much of it has found that, ultimately, meaning is about connections. And a meaningful life is one that is richly connected. For example, our interpersonal connections play a key role. People feel that their lives are more meaningful when they spend time with their closest relationships, especially when they're taking on a caretaker role. People also feel more meaningful when they're part of a community that provides them with a sense of belongingness and identity. People's connections to their work can also provide them with a sense of purpose and mastery, which can enrich their lives. And people feel meaningful when they feel that their lives are connected to the transcendent realm. They feel that their lives are part of something that is much grander than the material world. When people's lives are sufficiently connected in these domains, they are existentially grounded. Their lives make sense, they feel a sense of purpose in what they do, and they feel that their lives really matter in the grand scheme of things. This is the mindset that can help people thrive, even in the most trying of times. Big idea number two. We tell stories to help make sense of our lives. Our lives only feel meaningful when they seem to make sense. We want to feel that we can clearly understand who we are and our place within the world. But the key challenge that we face is that, in many ways, our lives often really don't seem so coherent. For example, we may often seem like quite different people when we're in different situations. We might find that when we're with our friends, we may act silly. When we're on our daily commutes, we may be short-tempered. While we may be ambitious and responsible at work. Which one of these different personas is the real self? Or we might feel committed to going on a diet and getting in shape, but then find ourselves the very next day in front of the TV having just eaten an entire pint of Haagen-Dazs. Which part of ourself is in charge? Or we might struggle trying to identify a common thread that connects the different chapters of our lives. We might realize, for instance, that the person we were in high school seems to share little in common with the way that we think of ourselves now. How is it possible that back then we had those political attitudes, those ambitions, and whatever led us to want that hairstyle? So how is it that we're able to weave all the different threads of ourself together? Quite simply, we accomplish this by telling stories about ourselves. We create stories with ourself as a central character, going on a journey where we confront all of the experiences and challenges in our lives. These stories help us to organize our understanding about who we are, what we're doing, and why we're doing it. It lays the foundation of ourselves. Importantly, the stories that we tell are not typically literal accounts of what has happened, but are instead an improvised telling that serves to make our lives feel more sensible. A key reason why our stories are able to integrate all of these inconsistent facets about ourselves is that at any given moment we're able to focus in on particular episodes and edit out the parts that don't quite fit in. When we tell our stories well, they serve to provide us with the feeling that our lives make sense. While each story that we tell about ourselves is unique in certain respects, it often shares a number of features in common with those stories told by others. Many of our stories share some common themes, such as a theme of redemption, when our story highlights how we've conquered some challenge from our past. Or a theme of contamination when our story provides an account of how our life suddenly went off a cliff. Also, our stories often rest upon quite simple but extremely important premises that guide how we experience events in our life. For example, our stories might be built around key premises such as, I am good, or people get what they deserve. These premises serve as a lens through which we see how our life unfolds, and these help us to feel that we are good and that we live in a sensible and just world. Part of leading a meaningful life, then, is learning how to narrate the events in our lives in terms of a more compelling and sensible story. Big idea number 3. When meaning is threatened, we seek to rebuild it. A key challenge with leading a meaningful life is that things often just don't feel very meaningful. Our feelings of meaning in our lives ebb and flow like the tide. But we really have a psychological need to feel that things are meaningful. And one way that we can see that this is a genuine need is that when things feel meaningless, we become especially motivated to make things seem meaningful again. It's akin to how we feel hungry when we haven't had enough food. Likewise, our brains signal to us when our lives aren't sufficiently meaningful. Research points to our brains having a kind of sense-making system that strives to keep things feeling meaningful. When things feel meaningless, our brains detect a signal that indicates a lack of sufficient meaning, and we're then prepared to try to regain a sense of meaning. It's a homeostatic system, much like your thermostat at home, that only becomes triggered when meaning is insufficient. And this is all occurring beneath our awareness. There are many different ways that we go about trying to rebuild a sense of meaning. One example of this is through nostalgic reflections. Often we may feel nostalgic and look back at past episodes of our lives. Much research finds that people feel more meaningful after they've engaged in nostalgic reflections. Focusing on the past chapters of our life stories and remembering how we were then provides us with a better appreciation for how we came to be the person that we are now, and this gives us a boost in our sense of meaning. Now, we can see how our nostalgic reflections reveal the homeostatic nature of our sense-making system if we consider the question of when do we tend to feel the most nostalgic. We're most likely to drift off in a nostalgic reverie precisely at those times when we feel that our life is unsatisfyingly low in meaning. For example, our lives tend to feel more meaningless when we're feeling lonely or when we're bored. And it's during these times when a sense of meaning is especially hard to come by. We make unconscious efforts then to try to find ways to give our lives a nice boost in meaning. And it is exactly at those moments when we're most likely to turn to memories from our past in an effort to regain our existential footing. We may play some songs from the soundtrack of our youth or flip through a photo album to again appreciate the people we're connected with and how we've come to be the person we are. When our lives feel meaningless, our sense-making system is tripped, and it motivates us to regain a sense of meaning, and one way that we do this is through our nostalgic reflections. Now, I don't think that it's at all a coincidence that since the 2010s, the world has been going through somewhat of a nostalgia boom. Movie theaters are playing remakes of films that were created just a few decades before. New television series that are set in previous decades are discussed as much for their plots as they are for the way they nailed the decor, the fashion, and the music of those times. And consumer products are sometimes being sold in ways that hearken to the past. It's during these anxious times we felt a collective need for meaning, and the world has been turning to the past to gain the meaning-boosting effects of nostalgia. Big idea number 4. Our life struggles can provide us with greater meaning. People who report greater meaning in life tend to be happier, and feeling meaningful and feeling happy share much in common. However, there is much more to meaning in life than just positive feelings, and we can learn a lot by focusing on how meaning is distinct from happiness. Jean-Paul Sartre perceptively observed that human life begins on the far side of despair. And much research supports this contention. For example, one study explored the characteristics of people with more meaningful lives and found that they reported that they had endured more negative life experiences, even though these experiences came with a cost to their happiness. Our struggles can often feel meaningful. Likewise, we can see this relation when we consider the question of where meaningful lives are most commonly found. Curiously, you're more likely to find them in places where life is harder. On average, the poorer that a country is, the more meaningful its citizens report their lives to be. The comfort and ease that people living in wealthier countries are able to enjoy appears to come at an existential cost. It often doesn't provide the sufficient struggles that people rely on for building a sense of resilience and meaning. Friedrich Nietzsche proclaimed, "That which does not kill me makes me stronger." And encouragingly, research finds that people often do rise to the challenges that life throws at them. The most common reaction to trauma is for people to experience post-traumatic growth, where they come to make more meaning in their lives. They come to make more meaning because in the aftermath of trauma, people's relationships with others often become closer, as they usually receive a great deal of social support. It's also common for people to develop a new sense of purpose as they re-evaluate their lives, and they often become more altruistic towards those who experience tragedies. People also tend to grow because they discover that they had some inner strengths that they hadn't realized. In addition, people's spiritual lives often become deeper after trauma. And last, the realization that so much can be lost in an instant makes survivors of trauma more appreciative of what they still do have. They no longer take their lives for granted. We can never lead a life without suffering, and our struggles will certainly come with a cost to our happiness. But it's reassuring to note that these difficult times can often help to make our lives more meaningful. Big idea number 5. Meaning in life can be cultivated. The final idea that I'll share is to emphasize that the amount of meaning that we have in our lives can be nurtured. We are not set to have a certain amount of meaning in our life. Meaning can be cultivated, just like any other ability that we have. First, there are a number of existential exercises that we can engage in that help to provide us with temporary boosts to our feelings of meaning, which can be invaluable for helping us to get out of a rut. I think of these as the existential equivalent to a shot of espresso. For example, I describe a simple exercise that helps people to feel more existentially grounded. That is, they feel that they have a clear understanding of who they are and what they stand for. Much research has found that people will feel more grounded after they've reflected upon their most important values. Simply writing a brief paragraph about your most important values puts you in a better position to respond with greater resilience to whatever challenges you face. A second way that we can cultivate a more meaningful life is to take a serious examination of the foundations of the meaning in our own lives, that is, our connections, especially the connections with our closest relationships, with our communities, with our work, and with the transcendent realm. I encourage you to conduct an existential audit of yourself to evaluate how deeply connected you are in these domains to identify where you have the most room for growth. Now, hardly anyone is richly connected in all of these domains, but encouragingly, one important fact about meaning is that, like money, it's fungible. That is, the meaning that you derive from one domain of connections, say your family relationships, can help to make up for a shortfall of meaning in another domain, such as an uninspiring career. It's as though we can pay for the meaning in our lives from different accounts. Last, remember that the life stories that we tell provide meaning in our lives. Our life stories tie together all of the threads in our lives and provide us with a sense of coherence, purpose, and feelings that we matter. We're not able to change what has happened to us in the past, but that doesn't mean that our life stories are carved in stone. As the author Gabriel Garcia Marquez put it, "What matters in life is not what happens to you, but what you remember and how you remember it." Some ways of telling a life story provide more meaning than other ways, and it's likely that you too would benefit from reflecting on your own life story in a different way. One of the most successful templates for stories, which the mythologist Joseph Campbell calls the hero's journey, focuses on an individual's conquering difficult challenges together with a band of allies. Research has found that when people are instructed to think of their own lives in terms of these individual elements from the hero's journey template, they come to feel that their lives are more meaningful. You might protest that your life has been nothing like a hero's journey, but if you make efforts to identify some of the key elements in your own lives, such as your transformations, the allies you've relied on, the seemingly insurmountable quests that you've been on, you too can likely learn how to reflect on your life in a more constructive and more meaningful way. Okay, those are 5 big ideas for my book. If you found these ideas interesting, you'll find a lot more like them in the book. Thanks for listening.